from the Stanley P. Kozakowski Memorial Studio at WSOU, Seton Hall University, South Orange, New Jersey. Welcome to Thank God for Monday. I'm Brother Greg Cellini of the Franciscan Brothers of Brooklyn, the class of 85. Once again, my great pleasure to be your co-moderator for our show today, Saturday, November 23rd, 2019. Crack Millennial co-host Gina Pirro is once again with us. Great morning, Gina.
Good morning, Brother Greg.
The purpose of Thank God for Monday is to inspire you, our listeners, to take personal responsibility for your professional satisfaction. We want to provide you hope and healing and peace in these turbulent times. Motivate you to search deep inside yourself in the quest for fulfillment. Alicia Keys said it perfectly. There's nothing you can't do. As always, listeners, really up to you is how to utilize information we provide, take full accountability for the decisions you make, and the resulting outcomes. Now, one of the goals of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to introduce role models. Role models of people who take very bold steps in their work lives. And this is why we are so pleased, as this Thursday, November 28th, is Thanksgiving Day, that Mae McCarthy, author of The Gratitude Formula, a seven-step success system to create a life that you love, has called into our WSOU studios today. Great morning and welcome to Thank God for Monday, Mae.
Good morning, Brother Greg. I'm so happy to be here.
Ah, the pleasure is all ours. Kindly tell our listeners from what city you're speaking this morning.
I am speaking from a little tiny town north of San Antonio in the Hill Country called Spring Branch, Texas.
You have just made Gina, Greg, and the listeners very, very jealous.
Well, it's a beautiful day here today. The golfers are lined up outside on the tee box, and the deer are walking through my yard with 139 live oak trees, and it's just a glorious day to be here.
You really just made us even more jealous now, certainly, but so glad you're in that beautiful part of God's country, that's for sure. Mae, we could spend hours. Sadly, we've only got 30 minutes. We could spend hours talking about you, this great book you've written, all the incredible success you've had in your lifetime, certainly. But before we get into the book and more about you, kindly share with the listeners, Gene and I, just who is Mae McCarthy?
Boy, that is a big question. You know, we just as our cells sort of reproduce every 7 years to become new, we have different phases of life that we change careers and learn, hopefully, from all of our successes and mistakes. But in a nutshell, I am the last of 10 children.
Wow.
I was born and raised on the beach in Hawaii.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. Pretty
That's
good
really
place
cool.
to live, huh? And I grew up in a Catholic family, and we were all of our own best friends and still are to this day. They're all 10 kids are on a text thread, and I usually wake up in the morning and see at least 20 texts flying back and forth, and it's great fun. And we all practice some sort of faith. We have a belief in God, something greater than ourselves, and we support each other. If something shows up and we need prayer, we put it out on the text thread, and everybody's power prays and prayers work. So we have that strong belief. And then in business, one of the things that I learned at a very young age from my parents is that they would supply for my basic needs, but if I wanted something extra, you know, some extra toys or things like that, that what I had to do was look around and find people that had problems that I could solve or people that needed conveniences that I could create and offer. And I watched my older brothers and sisters wash cars in exchange for money and trim hedges and mow lawns and babysit and things like that. And so at 6 years old, I mentioned to my mother that I thought the people out on our beach in front of our house looked thirsty, and I'd like to figure out a way to solve that problem and exchange treats and drinks and things like that for money. So she helped me start my first business at six, and I had a number of businesses while I was growing up, and then as an adult have had seven businesses, with the largest being about $120 million in annual revenue.
Oh, my goodness. We are so blessed, May, to have someone of your ilk on Thank God for Monday today.
Right, so my parents had that lesson. You know, if you can come up with a way to facilitate a fair exchange of value, then you'll be successful in life.
What great advice that they've given you. Clearly it's worked.
Indeed.
And you've written a new book called The Gratitude Formula, a seven-step success system to create a life that you love. How has gratitude been a factor in your success?
Well, for me, gratitude, I mean, there are tons of studies that show that there are well-being and health and psychological benefits to using gratitude. It even helps you sleep better if you state gratitude statements before you go to sleep. However, what I found out really in my first adult business was that gratitude can also make you magnetic to the things that you're grateful for. And if you look at scripture, you know, that I love that story about the woman with the jars of oil, and, you know, as she was grateful and oil kept continuing to produce as she showed gratitude towards the oil that she was getting. The same thing happened for me. We would get grateful when we would hit sales quotas. Mm-hmm. And I thought, why don't we try being grateful in advance for hitting sales quotas before we get there and see what happens? And for a extraordinary percent of the sales quotas that we had, we always reached and exceeded them. So I think gratitude also is a tool for success, makes you magnetic. Mm-hmm. As you're grateful for something in advance of having it,
That's amazing.
Tend to see more opportunities to achieve or to take steps to make those statements true.
It must make you magnetic to people, too, because I think people feed off of positive energy. Right? Do you find that the more grateful you are, even for the people around you, the happier you are and the happier other people are?
I do believe that gratitude has a different vibration. And, I mean, just think about the time that you've been around somebody that's really upset or angry. I mean, it almost pushes you away. I mean, if you know that person and you love them, you want to do whatever you can to help them and support them. But that energy really pushes, whereas gratitude and love invite people in.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Now, we really are excited to hear about your seven-step success system. Could you tell us a little bit more about it and just also why it's so powerful?
Oh, I sure will. So I actually wrote the gratitude formula after my first book called The Path to Wealth had been out for a couple of years. And a lot of people had contacted me or had come to my events, my speaking events and retreats and things like that, and told me that they were having great success using the steps that are outlined in the Path to Wealth for the goals that they believed were possible.
Okay.
But for the goals that were bigger than anything that they had achieved before or different than anything they've achieved before, they were really struggling to feel any sense of inner guidance or intuition or noticing any possibilities to take steps to achieve those goals. And so eventually in this, you know, kind of depression, they would just give up on those goals, saying they must not be the right goals for me. And I wanted people to believe that success is just a system. It's not a secret. It's not a secret reserved for only a few people, and that if they have a goal that is bigger or different than anything they've experienced, they can achieve that too, but they have to do a little extra preparation within themselves in order to allow that goal to manifest in their lives. And what I mean by that is, you know, think about when you learned how to ride a bike. Mm-hmm. Were you perfect the first time that you got on that bike?
No.
You probably crashed a bunch of times. Yes. I know I did.
Me too.
But you practiced every day, didn't you? Mm-hmm. Or at least as often as you could, because you wanted to ride a bike. You had a real passion for riding a bike. But you also saw other people that were riding bikes successfully. Mm-hmm. So you knew it was possible. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with reading or driving a car or typing on that crazy keyboard that's not even in alphabetical order. Right? You knew it was possible because you saw examples of it being possible. And so that's what we need to do as a key in this system for success, is if you have a goal that's bigger than anything or different than anything you've experienced, then you need to accumulate some stories. You need to meet people. You need to read about people that have achieved what it is that you want to experience. And as you make their stories familiar to you, over a period of time, as you continue in using a daily practice that focuses on your goals, mm-hmm. as you also supplement that with these stories, you start to believe, wow, it's possible. I mean, all these other people have achieved that.
Exactly.
So if they can do it, I could do it too. Mm-hmm. So that's the basic premise of the gratitude formula, is that it's just a system for success, and anyone can use it, and they already have, especially when they were younger and learning how to do all those difficult things. So the first step in the gratitude formula mm-hmm. is use a daily practice. And this daily practice is outlined in the gratitude formula. It's also outlined in the Path to Wealth. And essentially, what I hope people will do is recognize that they are valuable and that the goals and aspirations that they have are worthy of their experiencing. And so the best way to do that is to wake up the very first thing in the morning and review those goals and aspirations before the rest of the world can tell you what to focus on.
Wow, that's really, really important.
And so in this morning practice, which requires a few different things, you want to read something inspirational for 5 to 10 minutes that puts you into a receptive mood. I love short stories about ordinary people having an extraordinary experience because of this divine intervention or this intuitive direction. It might come from the Holy Spirit. It might come from an inner wisdom. It might come from through other people. But there's a source of information, which I choose to call God, or I've given a title to, called the Chief Spiritual Officer. It's what I call God, my Chief Spiritual Officer, who guides and directs me to take steps that are in alignment with my goals. And so when you focus on the outcomes of your goals every single morning, you tend to start to notice possibilities to take steps that are in alignment with those goals.
Mm.
So reading short stories about other people experiencing the same kind of thing is a good first step. The second part of this daily practice is to write out a gratitude letter. And you want to use statements that depict your gratitude for what you have and gratitude for what you want. But here's the key. Your gratitude statements for what you want should be worded the same way that you have worded your gratitude statements for what you have. And let me give you an example. Mm. Instead of saying, I want to lose 10 pounds or I want to be debt-free, you want to rephrase that as though it's already complete. So you might say, I'm so grateful that I'm physically fit, trim, toned, energetic, and a healthy, pain-free body that easily moves through life.
Mm.
Or, I'm so grateful that I'm financially free and I have all of the money that I require and desire to use and enjoy, to bless others with, and to invest and increase.
Wow.
So that, you want to describe it as though it's already done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like Jesus saying, see the harvest. And that was even before the fields were planted.
Right. It's important, you know, and it gets you in the frame of mind where you even realize that it is achievable because you can see the goal at the end. You could see
right.
it
and so here,
happening.
And the interesting thing is, as you're describing the completed goal, you know, the outcome of the goal as already manifest with gratitude, that's your job in this partnership with God, with your CSO. Your job is to figure out what it is that you want and be grateful for it in advance. The CSO's job is to create the path for you to get there and to give you one step to take at a time as a intuitive lead, maybe a gut instinct, a strong thought, a message through someone else, a sign, you know, some insight that you might even read and it just resonates with you.
Well, I'm definitely planning to take your advice when I get home. I am going to say I am grateful that my house is spotless and that the floor is swept and everything looks fabulous, even though I have not done it yet.
Okay, so I would ask you in that example to change your words just a little bit.
Okay.
I'm so grateful that I enjoy my beautiful, clean home. And when I and my friends and family come to visit, we all just feel so peaceful and wonderfully happy in this clean and organized and orderly home.
I'm going to write that down. I need that.
Yeah, so that makes two of us, that's for sure. Listeners, for anyone who's just tuned in, welcome to Thank God for Monday, the weekly talk show about the workplace here on WSOU 89.5 FM locally, streamed around the world at www.wsou.net. I'm Brother Greg from the Franciscan Brothers of Brooklyn, the class of 85. Our millennial co-host Gina Pirro is with us as well. We've got a very, very special guest. Her name is Mae McCarthy. She's the author of The Gratitude Formula, a seven-step success system to create a life that you love. Calling in from beautiful Texas, nearby, just outside the San Antonio, Texas area. We've been talking about this great book. We've been talking about the seven-step success system. She's shared with us already a couple of the steps. She's mentioned about a CSO, her acronym CSO. We've got C-levels. We've got CEO, CFO, and Mae is introducing to us about the CSO, the Chief Spiritual Officer. And it's very interesting you talk about goals, because this is something very important to Gina, myself, and our listeners. How can we ensure we're choosing goals that are right for us? You talked a little bit about this. Can you peel the onion for us a little further, please, on that?
Well, I believe that you can ask yourself a few different questions as you're determining whether a goal is right. You know, many of us are asked by other people to do things. And if it doesn't make you happy when you think about doing that, then you need to ask yourself a few questions. If it makes you happy, just do it. I mean, it's great fun, right? And you get the benefit of being able to, you know, bless others in the process, you know, because you're helping them out. But if it's something that just does not make you happy, then you have to ask yourself a few questions. The first is this required of me as part of my job or the role that I hold in life? Like if I'm a mother and I have to take my daughter to soccer practice, well, it doesn't really matter how I'm feeling that day. We made a commitment that she would fulfill her obligation to be a member of the team, so I have to get her to soccer practice. But if I come home from work and she asks if I would take her to the mall so she could hang out with all of her friends, well, then I can ask myself, is this really going to make me happy? Is this something that I'm required to do? And in that instance, I might not be required, but of course I want my daughter to be happy, so I might sit quietly and think, what other options are there?
Right.
Right. And so if it's something that's not required of you and it really wouldn't make you happy, then as you're thinking about some other options and sitting very, very quietly and getting still for just a moment, you may have an insight or an idea that pops up. And in that case, it may be to ask my daughter what other friends are going to be there and call one of the other mothers and ask them, are you going to be driving? And would it be okay if my daughter rode with you?
Wow. That's
now we both get to be happy in the achieving of the goal. I get to rest because I've had a really long week, or I just flew home and I'm exhausted, and my daughter gets to go to the mall and hang out with her friends. So is it something that's required? If it's not, will you have fun? And then the third is, how can I deliver the message in choosing not to take on somebody else's goal? How can I deliver it in love and truth,
right,
in a way that I would want to receive the response?
Right.
So in the example of my daughter, it would be, honey, I've had about 5 hours of sleep a night the last three nights. I'm exhausted. I really don't want to go to the mall. However, I did talk to Stacy's mom, and she'd be willing to come pick you up because she has a bunch of shopping to do as well. Is that okay?
Great.
That's a win-win-win for everybody.
Exactly. So you want to take on goals that you are happy about. For your own personal goals, ask yourself that question, you know, is this something that I'm excited about? Is this in alignment with my purpose? Is this something that would make me happy? And the best way that you can get to that answer is to ask yourself some questions like, what will my life be like after I achieve that goal?
Right.
Where will I be? Who will I be with?
That's important.
Yeah.
How will I feel? What will I be experiencing?
Mm-hmm.
And if that picture, that idea, that description makes you feel okay and doesn't give you any sort of nervousness or your gut's not wrenching, and it makes you feel that it's pleasing, then that might be the right goal for you.
It's very, very interesting. So many things you said really resonated with Gina and I. There's one thing in particular that I could relate to, because after being in big pharmaceuticals for 30 years, becoming a Franciscan Brother of Brooklyn, being still and silent has become a much more important part of my life, this whole discernment process. Share with us how important it is to be silent, to be still, so the CSO, if you will, the Chief Spiritual Officer, can speak to us.
Well, you know, it's really interesting because you can't notice those intuitive messages, those messages from the CSO. You can't even notice messages from other people. I mean, think about the last time that you were really worried or angry about something or scared or upset.
Right.
If anyone came up to you at that point in time and tried to have a conversation with you, you probably couldn't really follow along. You probably couldn't engage, because you're so consumed with this worry or fear or anger or nervousness. I mean, that's the human condition, right? So no messages from another human can get through, much less a message from God. So we have to do some things on a daily basis in order to get ourselves to a calm level. And one of the things that we can do is to take some very, very, very deep breaths, you know, and close our eyes and just focus on our breathing. And have this thought, you know, reveal to me, God, reveal to me what's mine to know. Reveal to me what's mine to know. Show me what I'm supposed to do in this situation. And just hold that thought and take some very, very deep breaths for just a couple of minutes. And you may get some sort of insight, but you have to be in a calm state in order to notice those messages. If you think about a lake, you know, if a lake is really, really calm and glassy, you could throw a little pebble in it, right, and see the ripples. But if it's very, very turbulent, boy, you could throw a big building into it and not even notice anything, right? Well, the same is true with us. You know, to notice those really intuitive messages, we have to be in a calm state. And I outline a number of techniques that we can use to get there in the book.
Wonderful. I think a good time, if you're somebody who commutes to work, sometimes a good time to just be thoughtful, be mindful, and just try to communicate with God or you know, think about what your intuitions are is while you're commuting, and just take a few minutes to relax. And then, of course, when you get home, make some time too before you do all the things you need to do. Start cooking, start cleaning the house. Just take a few minutes. Just like May said, it's so important and it will benefit you. And unfortunately, May, we only have about 4 minutes left, but we do have some really important questions we'd love to get to. How would you recommend people who are in more unfortunate circumstances remain grateful, especially that Thanksgiving is coming up?
Well, first of all, gratitude is a choice. It's not a feeling. It can develop into a feeling, but being grateful is a choice. Mm-hmm. So what I would recommend is that people write down, honestly, maybe on a little post-it note or index card, just write down 3 gratitude statements. I'm grateful that I'm alive. You know, I'm whatever they're grateful for. I'm grateful that I enjoy support from this one person who loves me. I am grateful that I have a deep connection with God. Whatever comes to mind, write down a few statements and make sure that you say those out loud multiple times a day and commit to doing that for at least a week.
Wonderful.
You will find after a week of doing that opportunities just start to show up to multiply things for you to be grateful for in your life. It's really uncanny and miraculous. And for me, you know, the miracle is an extraordinary event that manifests with divine intervention into human affairs. And as we demonstrate more and more gratitude and give it out, what we're grateful for tends to return to us multiplied.
Wonderful. And then when you realize your blessings in your life, you can, of course, spread that happiness and joy with others. And I love the examples you gave. You could make it simple. Thank God I'm alive today. If you're able to breathe, thank God that I'm able to breathe, because it isn't until you get sick and you have the flu and you can't breathe through your nose that you're like, wow, I was so ungrateful my entire time that I wasn't sick. Or even walking, right? I sprained my ankle. It's been like 4 or 5 months and still it's not fully healed. So if you could walk, thank God that you're able to walk today.
And thank God I can share a smile with someone.
Absolutely.
Thank God I can and open a door and help someone
absolutely
to pass through.
May, we've saved the most important question for last. From where can our loyal listeners purchase the gratitude formula? How can they best follow you?
Well, the gratitude formula is available from any online retailer, and I believe it's also in some Barnes & Noble stores. I know last time I spoke in Manhattan, there were some copies in the local Barnes & Noble store there. You can also go to my website, maymccarthy.com. That's maymccarthy.com. And there are some free chapters of the books, of both of my books, that people can download for free and, you know, check it out and see if they like it. And there are also a bunch of free videos, lots of free material, mm-hmm. and as well as a list of events and different blogs and things like that that hopefully will help them on their journey to create the life that they love.
Listeners, what better Thanksgiving gift can we think of than the gratitude formula? So pick this up if you can in the next few days. If not, of course, the other holidays coming up in December. What a great, great holiday stuffer as well. No doubt about that. So thank you very, very much, May, for being with us. Gina, I think, has a little information for us regarding our social media.
Yes, after you have finished following and connecting with May, again, that was M-A-Y McCarthy, M-C-C-A-R-T-H-Y. Also remember to follow our Thank God for Monday social media. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn.
Gina, thank you for all the great work you're doing for Thank God for Monday as Director of Marketing and Communication, as a crack co-host here. And so on behalf of the Franciscan Brothers of Brooklyn, we wish you a very, very blessed Thanksgiving to you and all your loved ones.
Thank you.
And May, the same from Gina and I here. to your loved ones and you a wonderful and blessed Thanksgiving holiday this week. We really appreciate you coming on today. We've been enlightened. We've been inspired. And we're just so grateful for Mae McCarthy. So again, many, many thanks, and enjoy a very blessed Thanksgiving week.
Oh, thank you both. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too. And to our listeners.
Yes. Listeners, yes. Thank you, Gina, for mentioning that, because without you, we're not here. So our listeners, enjoy a very, very wonderful Thanksgiving week. Listeners, sadly, we're out of time. Brother Greg and Gina saying, our hope and prayer is that when you wake up on Monday morning, just like May does, you'll say, thank God for Monday.